Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And this is Sam.
And we are here to talk about the secret lives of Mormon wives.
Of Mormon wives. I wasn't triggered at all watching this show. And I have not had multiple conversations about it with multiple different clients.
I mean, I feel like,
yeah,
in a weird way, cathartic, maybe,
yeah,
for some people to process.
No, it is. Some people feeling it doesn't fairly represent their experience.
Okay.
Which I do think,
yeah,
of course, like anything, you know, mm-hmm, you don't go to the Housewives franchise and go, oh, every woman in New York is like that. Or every, yeah, woman in, well, maybe in New Jersey, every woman is like that. But that's a different conversation.
Yeah, everyone's part of the mob.
Everyone's part of the mob. Yeah. No, this season two, mm-hmm, was a lot.
I know. You like took notes.
I did.
You're like.
I did. I've got a note.
You're prepared.
Up. Yeah. I want to hear, as a non-Mormon,
okay,
I want to hear your start.
I think the first three episodes were kind of the best. I think it like devolved,
yeah,
halfway through the season. I hate Demi and I'm very confused. I also heard that she like was doing things to try to like make drama with, like, that she was like, I'm gonna pretend to have an affair with like Dakota, I think. So I don't like this whole, I don't know. This is the fatal flaw of me, of like, I don't want to know that people are on reality TV. I kind of need you to be in one or two buckets. Like, Real Housewives, mm-hmm, at least they're not allowed to talk about it. Even though it's very obvious that they're on a show and they get to talk about it after, they don't break the fourth wall. These people did, which is actually super interesting. And I liked all of that. But then it's like they half break the fourth wall and then they half don't. And I think if we're going to like fully break the fourth wall, I think we need to talk. Like, I think we need to stop the shenanigans of will mom talk survive, and this shenanigans that we are a business and that we are going to vote on who is in mom talk or not, when that makes no sense, because you guys are just on a reality show and you all actually individually don't have power to choose who's on that show or not. Like, the producers get to choose. So you saying Miranda isn't in mom talk doesn't mean anything. And you all admitted that you're not even filming content together, which was the only thing you were doing before. So I wish we would just give up that charade and make it about like who's on this show and this journey where we're like influencers and things like that, especially because Hulu breaks the fourth wall so much with showing their TikToks, and that's,
yeah,
such like an integral part of it. And they seem to not like they're – none of them are like handling it directly. A lot of the like drama was about – that they were confronting each other passive aggressively through TikTok. That was one of my big issues, is I was just like this would be so much more interesting to watch if you all just were honest about what was going on a bit. And this whole like, who's a bet? They just are people who clearly studied the Real Housewives and brought that knowledge with them, which is fine, but it's, be less obvious about it.
I absolutely agree. We're so far past like, this is what mom talk was meant to be. Like, I feel like we left that midway through season one. Like,
totally,
that was done. My kind of high level view before we dive, mm-hmm, into some of like the,
yeah,
subtopics that I'm concerned about.
Yes.
Is, and I think this ties into what you were saying with the behavior and the hypocrisy around some of the focus and what they're saying and what they're not doing. And this, like, yeah, there is a fourth wall. There isn't a fourth wall. There is one. There is one in the midst of all of the drama. Is it is concerning to me, mm-hmm, the way some of these women behave.
Yeah.
True. And actually most of them. And I think with the Housewives franchises, there is a world where you can look at it and go, I can see how women at a certain level could engage in drama like that. There, mm-hmm, are times where I see the drama play out and I'm like, that makes sense to me. That makes, mm-hmm, sense to me why someone's upset about that. That makes sense to, mm-hmm, me why that got confused. Of course, sometimes it's silly and dumb. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, these women do have legitimate businesses, legitimate business experience. Yeah. Like, they've had backgrounds before coming to the show that were separate from social media. So I think with the Housewives franchises, yes, it's reality TV. Yes, there is an element of the producers pushing buttons. Yet there's also a seriousness to it in some ways. I think the word I'm looking for is like credibility.
Yeah.
There's a credibility there. With Secret Lives, what I struggle with so much is it's just this aggressive immaturity in your face all the time.
Yes.
None of those things I feel for anybody that I know in my life would explode and evolve into what some of the problems were, especially this season.
Yeah.
I think even the conversation between Jen and Jesse, I was so confused as to why that exploded the way it did.
No, why do you guys – like Jen is – this man is abusive. I don't know what else to say. Like, what I couldn't understand is they watched how she was crying and miserable in her marriage last year. Mm-hmm. And then they, like, briefly took a break, which I don't even believe. I think they were together the whole time. But I digress. What I couldn't understand is why they were just like, your husband said something different than you. What's going on, Jen? You're a liar. Like, wouldn't you think that she wasn't telling her husband the whole truth because she didn't want to get in trouble with him when you saw what happened last season at Chippendale? Like, why is she pathologically lying because she didn't tell her husband the whole truth?
Why is there a separate conversation without her between two women and her husband involving her? Like the drama that they're discussing is she's almost at the center of it.
Yeah.
And I found that so bizarre that the three of them, Zach, Demi, and Jesse, had that conversation without Jen, but then Demi and Jesse get mad at Jen. I don't know. It was – that whole storyline was very bizarre to me. But also, I think now that we know the role Demi played, I'm curious if behind the scenes Demi was like stoking the fire to create division in the group. I think she was actively throughout the season looking for reasons to do that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in the Housewives franchise, if you compare the conversations people have, the storylines, things that are going on, there's strategy to it. And you can see it at times. You can see that some of the people on the show have goals.
Yeah.
And things that they're trying to do or things that they're trying to reveal or show about someone else.
Yeah.
And this just felt so grossly messy.
Yeah.
And I sat with that idea when I finished the show and I was like, okay, what is like bothering me so bad about this?
Yeah.
Like, why can I watch a housewife show and not even bat an eye and be like, no, this is what it is.
Yeah.
But with this, it feels like sinister and manipulative. And what I realized is twofold. One, they're all in their early 20s.
Yeah.
Your 20s are meant to have behavior that is that way. Mm-hmm. This explosive, reactive, emotionally driven, no communication skills within the same zip code as you. It's supposed to be like that. Yet, I'm supposed to be taking these women seriously as wives and mothers and business owners and this and representatives of this system that they've built. And I'm like, you're all putting – and this is going to be like an aggressive sounding metaphor, and it is what it is. There is so much lipstick being put on a pig.
Yeah.
And I get frustrated that I'm being sold like a bill of goods about who these women are when I'm like, no, you are all violently emotionally immature because you are at a stage where – 80% of you don't have fully developed frontal lobes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yet you, with your whole chest, you're telling me how like grown and mature and insightful you are because you have a husband and kids. Mm-hmm. And it's like false.
Yeah.
Those are things that can happen to anybody. It doesn't mean you've matured through it. It doesn't mean you've applied anything that you've learned through it. And so I think that's the difference is in all directions at this show, we're seeing the emotional immaturity that often is attached to women deep in the church.
Yeah.
And the ramifications of the social structures around that. And I know Jesse's a business owner. I know Macy's a business owner. I get it.
Jesse is like the only real business owner, though. I hate to say that, but like, yeah, it's very hard to take them seriously. I think that's a very good point of just like, guys, like, it would be so much more interesting if they were just like actual moms, actually. I actually thought some of the number one, I think Taylor is like the most authentic one.
Absolutely.
Like, she shows her actual real life. She shows how she's like actually struggling sometimes. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a fake business. Like, no. I don't know what it is about that really – she doesn't say things like, we're saving the world, like Jen said, right? Like, we're uplifting – like
– no. Put that to bed, babe.
Saturnine, extreme
– sweetness.
White feminism. Maybe this is what it is as we're getting to this. I think the housewives don't pretend they're good people.
Where's the lie? Where is the lie?
They're like, oh my God. I'm ruthless. I'm here to get mine.
Yep.
I'm using this as an opportunity. I think obviously they're like, I care about my friends and I care about this group and things like that. But we know they care about the group so they can stay on the show.
Right.
We know they care about exposure. Like, that is what it is. They care about, like, social climbing in their community. Like, they care about all of that. Where, yeah, these women are like, we care about uplifting the world through shaking our ass on the internet. And we're doing really important stuff. And I need you, the audience, to lap that up. And I will not.
But that is a result of growing up in a culture that tells you you have to represent something. If you have a platform, you have to be using it for good. Yeah. And you have to be espousing good. And so they are twisting themselves in Simone Biles vault level flips of mental gymnastics to justify why what they're doing is so good.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not watching this for a moral purpose. I don't.
Yes.
I'm not sitting here looking to be like uplifted through you. I don't care. I am so far past that. And I think why I'm.
And stop acting like hosting a pickleball tournament.
Jesus.
Is uplifting women.
With, like, your poppy sweatshirt.
It's a cool opportunity.
You're an influencer.
And that is like sort of, that is like more like Taylor went to the CMAs and she like said it was an opportunity. I don't think she said like, I'm changing country music or anything like that. Like, it's okay to want to be an influencer and make money and be successful, and that's fine. But yeah, stop pretending like you're doing this for the good of someone else.
No. But I think that's why I have so much respect for Taylor, even with the Dakota drama, which we can dive into all of that.
Yes.
I think she is the only one in that entire group that completely owns her side of the street.
I agree.
She owns it fully. And it really pissed me off every time Demi kept trying to bring it up and dredge it up and talk about it. I'm like, she hasn't hidden anything.
Yeah.
She's been – you're the one over there going off mic with Brett saying that you think he's cheated on you.
Yeah.
And him behaving all sorts of weird.
You're the one who – I mean, there are camera angles. I don't know. This might be controversial. But I don't think that man tried to hurt you the way that she was like, he put his hands on me. Like
– no, I don't think.
Like he poked her.
No.
And that, she did that on purpose to create drama.
Well,
to get
and
her
she
husband
went up,
upset or it was planned.
She went upstairs and she's like, he put his hands on me.
I know.
And it's like, you're acting like he literally punched you in the throat. And Kendra and I were watching that and I was like, look, I am all for your body. You don't want to be touched. Don't be touched.
Yep.
But like anything, there's a spectrum. Yeah. And that was not that.
No.
The drama with them was that when Taylor – so – that was the couple where Taylor was like, we had sex in bed next to each other and we did it and we had sex in the shower together.
Right.
His parents didn't know any of the stuff, A, that he was doing, but B, that he was essentially like he had left the church. During like the swinging thing, everybody thought he was still like clean cut Mormon dude.
Oh, okay.
And when she broke that to the world, that was part of why he got so mad, was because he felt like she outed him before he was ready to like tell his family that he had left the church. Back to what I was saying about Taylor. she has owned the fact that she is actively like learning and growing and mm-hmm. working on that like typical trajectory of like emotional development and awareness and decision making. Mm-hmm. And the fact that at the very end she says, no, like I've really thought about it and Dakota and I are done. Like yeah. that is an evolution from where she was at the start of the season. And nobody else in that entire show can claim that there was any sort of an evolution yeah. the way they think there was.
Yeah.
And I find Taylor is the only one. And again, I don't know their lives, but I kind of do now that they've put it on TV.
A fraction.
Taylor is really doing work. Mm-hmm. Like that therapy work. And she's actually going. And I know Michaela went to deal with like her sexual abuse.
I really struggled with that. Like that therapy session that was recorded, I was just like.
I had a hard time with that.
This because is so staged. It's really hard to watch.
And the therapist, like some of what the therapist saying wasn't necessarily wrong, but it also kind of felt like Michaela wasn't really at a space where she had done actual reflective work of what it was.
Yeah.
It felt like the therapist was kind of trying to pull stuff out of her.
I just think they were trying to find something that was interesting enough to be recorded, yeah. but not too deep that yeah. it would trigger her.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how they landed on this. And it comes across as extremely staged. Yes. And it just came across with the way that she did the therapy on TV that this was like a choice of like, I want this to be part of my storyline.
Yeah. And maybe it was. And if that was like an empowering thing yeah. for her to do, so be it. I'm just with you. I struggle with therapy sessions like that being in shows like this because
yeah.
it you can't help but wonder through a reality TV lens with the fact that there are producers involved, like how scripted is this?
It also is hard because there's so many of them
right.
that you like can't get deep
no.
into anyone's storyline enough for it to feel authentic.
Well, and that's exactly what I was just going to say, which is if that was a storyline that they were going to highlight.
Yeah.
They did that zero justice.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like, if you're not going to explore that as an evolution for her, mm-hmm. I don't want to know about it because then that starts to feel voyeuristic to me.
Mm,
and I feel like I was just let into this like very deep, very intimate, horrible part of her life that is so obviously filled with pain as it would be, right? Mm-hmm. And you show me this like bare minimum therapy session and then it's never addressed again. And it shows her crying in front of her family. Her family was useless, by the way. She brings up the fact that she's like a victim of sexual abuse and her sisters are like staring there stone-faced. It's like, mm-hmm. can you even try to pretend that this is bothering you? Like, it was just so random in the way it was brought up. It didn't feel like there was anything redeemable to it for mm-hmm. her to have that level of exposure to something so intimate. And then it just goes away because the other way that was connected in my mind was the sex party.
Yes.
The sex toy party.
Oh my God.
That was one of the most difficult 7 minutes of TV I've ever had to watch because the secondhand embarrassment was just like insane.
I mean, what I was so bothered by it too is, I mean, number one, a sexologist is nothing. That is a made-up online certification. But what I was so frustrated by is, I mean, obviously this was done for TV, but the amount of like sexual trauma that the girls have in that room, and then we're delivering it as finding out what you want is as simple as figuring out how hard you want to be touched.
Whipped.
Yeah, or whipped.
It wasn't even
on
touch.
Your leg. Like, that is completely disconnected sometimes, like in a lot of ways, from what you want sexually. Like, you have to feel safe in your body before, like, what? Also, just get a vibrator.
Get also, vibrator. Yeah, please. Why did no one do that for her? I don't understand why no one was helping her with that.
Our vibrator is not a thing.
Well, okay. It actually is true. You're not supposed to masturbate. That's actually bad.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe none of them. Because the fact that no one said – here. This is a box.
There's something in it. Just follow the instructions.
Well, it doesn't take any, like, technique either. No.
There's no strategy to it.
Get her a magic wand.
Maybe this is why I'm so bothered with the sex storylines, is because they're completely ignoring the root of the issue that is at play through all of this. Whether it's Taylor's stuff, whether it's the swinging stuff, whether it's Michaela's storyline, whether it's Layla's storyline, everything that's at the root of it is this oppressive, repressive sexual culture that they were all raised in. And I'm supposed to think it's empowering that they're like rubbing a leather whip against each other and giggling like absolute idiots, when there is a legitimate reason that they're all feeling so uncomfortable.
Yes.
But we're completely glazing over that reason and just having them look like immature children, not being able to handle and not being able to cope, when there's actually a very serious reason underneath that. And I just feel like that's such like a missed moment of exploration for the show. But then they don't go there because they want to create this illusion that they're so aware and mature and like developed, and they're so understanding of themselves.
When they were talking, it was very interesting, one of the last episodes when they were talking, and Jesse was kind of the only one that it was clear that she actually left the church.
Yes.
In terms of like,
no longer being active.
Yeah, and she like actually understood what that meant for her and why she left the church and what values, you know, are different and all of that stuff, where it was so weird to just like watch them fall back in line and stop questioning things. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, they all pretend like it's not a problem.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, they act like I'm changing, right? We're changing Mormonism, or we're changing like we're empowering women to, you know, that they can get a TikTok and they can be Mormon and stuff. But yeah, what is actual empowerment is like healing. It's what you said. It's you're putting lipstick on it and being like, well, I can still be part of the Mormon church because that's helpful and that's good for me. And I think even too, I think what I was sad about is I don't know enough about Jesse's story to really fully get into it, but it sounded like she didn't really have a choice almost. I don't know whether she was excommunicated or what happened.
Yeah.
But it like almost felt like, well, a lot of these women can still fit in and play the part. And probably Taylor wasn't there. That was during the girls' trip. I think Taylor similarly, although her parents still, you know, are in her life. But I think that's what's really hard too, is a lot of people, and you can speak on this way more than me, a lot of people are excommunicated from their families, their communities, things like that, for doing some of these things that they're doing. And they're kind of saying, well, we're doing these things, so we're free. And it's like, no, you're not actually helping anyone.
No. Because you're modeling these behaviors that people in your main communities still do not support.
Yeah.
And so I'm supposed to be so impressed that you're like straddling this line of these completely contradictory worlds.
We wanted to share really quickly that we have officially launched a Substack.
It's called Nuance Needed. We got really creative with the title. But yeah, we're just going to be posting all of our behind the scenes stuff there. We're going to have bonus episodes.
And you also don't have to pay, like you can pay to get that extra content, but we also are excited to just create community with you all. And we've gotten into really cool discussions with listeners based on what they think. So we'd love to chat with you more.
We know people are really lonely right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, something that we really have always, Amanda and I have both always dreamed about doing, is having more of a community of like-minded people where we can chat about things in depth and really get curious about what things mean and how we can apply it to ourselves individually. And that is really what we want our Substack to be. And us sharing the information and the tools and the insights that you guys need in order to be able to have those more nuanced, educated conversations.
Absolutely. So join us at nuanceneeded.substack.com, and we'd love to see you there. This is the metaphor I keep thinking of, is it's kind of like, I remember a few years ago when the body positivity movement started taking off and yeah. very skinny women would get online and they would pull their skin or show their cellulite and be like, I love myself. And everyone clapped and said it was so brave and hooray. And people in other bodies, very rightly so, called out these people and said, it's so nice that you can kind of hide when it works for you and then not hide when it benefits you. Like, it's nice that you can like be connected to people and be relatable because you have stretch marks, but you aren't in a larger body enough that you actually face discrimination or fat phobia, right, on a daily basis. And that's kind of what I'm hearing, is like a lot of people, they're excommunicated from their families for doing these things. They don't have a choice. They don't get to just choose when to blend in and when to be quirky and stand out, mm-hmm. where these women do, and they're not helping anyone because most people who did what they do probably would be excommunicated.
And women especially. And yeah. with excommunication, the interesting element of it is you're not – it's not like a Scientology vibe where it's like all of a sudden your family has to shun you.
Okay.
Basically – Your records are removed from the church, and it is as if you were never even baptized.
But you have to choose that?
No, or- it's oftentimes it's like it's literally a disciplinary action.
Okay.
So the levels are, you can be disfellowshipped.
Okay.
Which is, that's when like you can't hold a calling, you couldn't like even pray at church. You're still a part of it. You can't take the sacrament. You're working with your bishop to like get back your worthiness, but you can still attend church. You can still attend activities. Your records in the church aren't touched. With excommunication, it really is like you were never a member.
Yeah, that's really intense.
It's really, really, really intense. And the shame, and it's shameful for families, and nobody knows how to explain it. And a lot of times people just end up not talking about it in general. I will say, I think excommunication has fallen drastically. Like the statistics, it's not something that happens as much anymore.
Yeah.
But way back in the day, I have family members that were exed. And essentially, you have to like go back and almost like relearn about the church, and you have to be baptized again. And it's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
And it was much more common, I would say, like – up until probably like the 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And then I think after that, it dissipated a bit. You'd hear more about like disfellowshipped, or bishops kind of tried to be really flexible with like understanding when that was appropriate and trying to have like situational nuance. So it's not that you can't see your family or be with your family anymore. It's just the level of like shame that is attached to it.
Yeah.
And I think going back to – I loved that you brought up this idea of like what's really empowering is healing, because – and maybe that's what I'm struggling with most, that I'm kind of just piecing together in this conversation, is that I know I have the unique perspective, A, because of my Mormon background, B, because I'm a therapist, and C, because I lived in that community for so long. I'm looking at all this and I am seeing a laundry list of problems for every single one of them.
Yeah.
And Taylor is the only one that is doing anything about it and standing up to her family, standing up to that shame, owning her side of the street.
That is the TV I want to watch.
Yes.
Is like people healing.
Yep.
Maybe it's just because we're therapists. People standing up to their family. People, people trying to actually change the systems. Not, I'm changing the world because I had a TikTok go viral.
Right.
And now I'm hosting a celebrity pickleball match.
Right. And I'm supposed to think you're so forward thinking when you're still around people that are judging you for living this way, for doing these things. Other. And they judge each other, and you point the finger at each other and you rip each other to shreds. And that was the one thing that I thought Zach said that was incredibly enlightened, when he was like, why are you with these women? Like, there's nothing empowering or uplifting about this group. All you guys do is talk about each other.
Yeah, because I don't think they're actually friends. This is a hodgepodge group of people brought together, because no one actually besides Taylor would do Miranda wouldn't do it last season. So no. This wasn't even about the mom talk, or this wasn't even about, you know, the swinging scandal. And by the way, when Taylor detailed what they did, it wasn't swinging. No. Did you catch that?
Yeah, no, it wasn't swinging.
Like, you guys were just having sex in the same
room. You were just having orgies
as each other, and you guys kissed. Like, that's not what swinging is. And, you know, whatever. Like, that's fine. But, yeah, I think they didn't totally know what swinging
was. Well, of course they don't. Have you heard of soaking?
What the fuck is soaking?
Oh, it's when if you have little ears around, pause until you can listen to this. But it's when you, like, have penetrative sex, but nobody moves.
Oh, so that doesn't count.
So that doesn't count.
Oh, my. I did have a friend once who was very – I did have a friend once who would do just the tip, and that didn't count.
It's so stupid. Or I knew people.
Well, it's just like, this is – virginity is a construct. Oh, my God.
This one's going to blow your mind. I knew people that were like, well, we're still virgins because we had anal.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that one too. But this is why virginity is a construct.
Yeah, it's not. It's all made up. It's all made up. Regardless.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I would have so much more respect for the show and the storyline if there was some reality going on of their journey as women through this. Not just about, like, the drama they have with each other and why they hate this one and this one and that, but, like, their true experience as women exploring this flexibility and this nuance that they're trying to live in.
And I do think maybe last season they did do that a little bit more.
Yeah, last season there,
like,
was more
I'm remembering of it. Whitney talking with her family about
the vibrator.
Doing a vibrator ad. See, they know vibrators. Why didn't they give Layla the vibrator that she was gifted? Anyway,
I don't know.
I felt like that was a bit, like, that was a lot more real. And
this season was, there was drama, but it was like, it wasn't even like juicy, interesting. It was cringy. It was cringy to watch it all unfold. I mean, I will say that barbecue with Taylor's family, that was,
oh my God,
that was one of
the things I've ever seen on TV.
That was almost like documentary worthy.
Yes, I agree.
That went beyond reality TV. That was like a documentary moment that perfectly encapsulated the shame that some of these rigidly traditional Mormon families have. And then the layer of the misogyny and the sexism, and absolutely zero people were pointing the finger at Dakota to say, why are you cheating on her? Why did you take advantage of my daughter? Why did you lie to her? Why are you sleeping around with all of these women? Why are you trying to get in this other woman's pants when you just impregnated this other one? But
horrible.
No, they're pointing at Taylor and saying, well, why did you still sleep with him? Why did you still do it?
No, what does that say about you?
You're leading him on. That's not fair. Like, it was grotesque beyond anything I've ever seen before. But that is what those families believe.
Yeah.
Like, they truly believed, oh, Taylor, because she's been so quote-unquote crazy in the past, Dakota's having to put up with this.
Yes. It was wild to see her sisters also agree. And her sister, one of her sisters got close where she said it's, like, unhealthy for you guys to be together around the baby. And she got so close. And
so
then she
close.
Was like, so you need to just get along and pretend that everything's fine.
When the mom said, we forgot to pray, I threw my remote. That was like the most triggering moment in the world to me, because I was like, this is it. Yeah. This is Mormon toxicity in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And I think I know, I've even had some people in my life who are still active in the church that have kind of tried to be like, but you know, that's not the majority of people. You know, this is like exaggerated. And I'm like, a lot of this show, absolutely. That barbecue, no.
Yeah.
That is how multiple people still feel and still believe in this day and age that – I mean, I have heard multiple stories of women and men, like, while they're in college even, they have sex, and the girl gets a harsher punishment than the guy every time. Every single time under that stupid dress codes. Yeah, that stupid godforsaken honor code that they have, women are always more punished than men. Mm-hmm. Always. And that reverberates down. It's mm-hmm. our fault. I was taught it was my fault. I was taught I had to be covered up because men couldn't control themselves. I was taught mm-hmm. that I had to be aware of the things that I said and how I dated because men couldn't control themselves. It was never taught to them. Mm-hmm. They got stressed out if in like a talk from a leader, the leader was like, you guys should, men should help with dishes sometimes. And then guys would be like, they're so hard on us. Like, they have such high expectations of us. And then I'm over here literally vision boarding like my wedding and talking about being a mom and yeah. how I can be like a good wife. They didn't have activities like that. I remember in my camp, so mm-hmm. like in the summer, there's girls camp and then scout camp for the boys. Mm-hmm. I remember we would be like talking about marriage and like what it mm-hmm. means to be a good wife and a daughter of God and all these sorts of things. And they're out there like fucking throwing rocks in the lake and like trying to start fires with flint and going on like 80 mile hikes.
Well, that's what's really important is men need to be able to light a fire for you if you're ever in an emergency.
Yeah, but then they don't even know how. Like that's what I think maybe yeah. if I had to like sum it all up, going even back to what I said in the beginning, which is there is just this oppressive emotional immaturity that mm-hmm. is in fact age appropriate for where mm-hmm. most of these women are. Mm-hmm. But then it's again reiterating this idea that simply because you are married and have children,
yeah,
you are further along in like mm-hmm. the lifeline
yeah.
of terms of like experience and understanding and growth. Mm-hmm. And there's none of that there. Mm-hmm. Like if you see any of these women out, you would just think it's a bunch of like immature girls that have never been to a club, mm-hmm. like the burlesque show, mm-hmm. which like was hilarious, but like,
yeah,
it's the sex party, all of it. It's like we're skating right past yeah. the real issue yeah. and we're all supposed to just be like, oh my God, it's so silly.
We were just cosplaying Real Housewives. Is yes. how it felt.
Yes.
Like even the Zach Jen storyline, I'm much more interested in
yeah.
how they were going to repair their relationship yep. or things like that. Or I'm interested in Demi. Like, I mean, that the pregnancy rule, I was just like, why on God? I hope that they told her they were going to do this and Demi consented to it and just decided it would be worth it to do for the reaction she was going to have.
There's no way she knew.
You don't think so?
I don't think she did. That, I mean,
that is the cruelest it is, thing ever if she didn't have consent to that.
I don't think she did. I don't think any of them did. I think all of those, if she knew, I don't think the tears would have been that wild. Her face when she looked at the second pregnancy test, that was devastating.
Well, I can't believe when they had thought of to do it that she didn't just say no and walk out. I'm so confused by that. Maybe she was like, I'm deep in it already. This will make great TV.
I mean, yeah, she's in this for the bag at this point. But to hurt your own feelings that hard, I don't think you could have done that naturally. Like, I think if it had been – if she had been more aware of what was going on, I feel like it would have been more anger. It was a really frustrating watch for me. I'm with you. The first three episodes, I was kind of like, oh, this is kind of like what's to be expected. And then after that, it just got like, it was boring, but not at the same time.
It just got more hollow and more ridiculous.
There was no cohesion at all. And I think even, again, comparing it to The Housewives, right? They are masters at building that tension.
And also every Real Housewives starts with like only five people.
Yes. So you can make sense of it. How many are there here?
Eight? Seven?
Yeah, there's like eight or nine.
That's so many, guys.
That's way too many.
Like make some of them out, you know, the way Real Housewives does it.
Leak them in a little bit. But yes. I also want to call attention too that I think the storyline of Jen's prenatal mental health yeah. was bungled. I don't think that yeah. one was handled very well. And again, a missed opportunity. I think that was an incredibly powerful opportunity for her to be like more open about that. And maybe they asked her and she said no.
It did seem like maybe it was abrupt that she kind of was like, I don't know. Yeah. It seems like maybe she went away or maybe like,
yeah,
I don't know.
And again, I'm not a reality TV producer, so I can't think of it well. But the scene where like Zach is getting their two little kids ready and then he brings them up to bed and she's in bed and she looks absolutely miserable. I just – that wasn't – that – again, it just felt like voyeuristic. Like it wasn't even interesting. It wasn't telling me anything.
I think that's a really good way to phrase it, is like the deeper moments were voyeuristic.
Yes.
And then everything else was just –
a joke.
Fake drama. Layla shouldn't be on the show, in my opinion. She, like, has no storyline that she's willing to share. Again, like, I would be so interested. A lot of these women are divorced.
Yes. What was your story?
I would love to hear about it.
Yes.
What was it like? I mean, I think a lot of them can't talk because it seems like – I mean, it seems like Taylor's husband basically has made her sign an NDA where she can't even say his name.
Yeah. She can't even have the, she can't have the kids on.
That stuff – I mean, I would be very interested in Layla if she talked – well, more about that. I'm interested in Jesse's history way more than the show. I'm interested in – Demi? I mean, even Demi, she has an ex. A lot of them have exes, which is really interesting.
Yes.
But we pretend like they don't.
Right.
And we pretend like they're just still perfect wives and mothers.
Well, because I think they are so desperate. It's like we're trying to make fetch happen. Like they're trying to make mom talk happen.
All of them have second husbands now that I'm thinking of it. Layla, Demi, Jesse, Taylor,
Macy,
to
a degree. Also, we still just gloss over the fact that Michaela's husband committed an illegal act.
What?
When they got together.
Oh, yeah.
She was 16.
God. Oh, my God.
She was 16.
How old was he again?
21. Like, hello. And also, we're completely leapfrogging the fact that she's a victim of sexual abuse. So it's far easier to coerce somebody into that. It's just like, I can't with that.
But regardless. She's pregnant, Sam. So everything's okay.
So everything's fine. She had kids. Healed. She had kids, so she's fine.
Yeah. That is so fascinating that I say that out loud, that almost every single one of them is divorced or doesn't have is on their second husband. But we know so little. About them, about what happened, about what it's been like, about how the church responded, how their families responded. The only one we know about is Taylor.
Right. Well, and then who brought up the story of the ceiling? I think it was Jesse.
Jesse did. Yes. That was the most interested I was of, like, she seems like the only one. And that was what I kind of said of, I don't know whether she was excommunicated or what happened, but she clearly had consequences for what happened to her, where all the other ones just act like perfect Mormon wives. But
there's so much there.
Yeah, but what about ceiling? That is interesting, right? Like, I guess some of them didn't get married in the church, so they weren't sealed.
So a ceiling – okay, so when you roll up to the temple, you have to have your marriage certificate. So you have to be legally married. So a lot of people will go to the courthouse, just get the certificate, make nothing of it, and then they go to the temple to prove that they can now have this, like, religious ceremony.
Okay.
So the sealing is a religious ceremony. You have to be temple worthy. You have to be a temple recommend holder to be able to attend. Yep. So that sometimes gets dicey for some of these families, because if you're excommunicated, doesn't matter if literally your entire family is in the building, you're on the outside babysitting the kids. Like,
right. Well, especially, I mean, isn't it just, even if you don't like pay tithing, that can like happen sometimes too? Which is like literally – feels like extortion, but anyway.
It kind of is. And the like one of the other questions is, do you associate with any like anti-Mormon literature? And that one gets dicey for some people, because it's like, well, what? So can I not?
Well, how are these people still temple?
If you want.
In the temple, if they're not.
If you
they're
want.
They're definitely engaging.
My completely honest opinion. I think there's a lot of people that go, yes, yes, no, no, yes, 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 no, yes. I think there's a lot of people that do that. And it's kind of like the unspoken. Some people, I think people who are like people pleasers, very anxious, afraid of getting in trouble, they're a lot more rigid with that. But I know of people that went in. I knew how they were living. I knew the things that they were doing. And they'd be like, no, no, yes, 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 no, yep, yep. And there's no like, it's on your honor.
Yeah.
So like you go in and they –
well, I think that was even a little bit last season where they made a bigger deal out of some of the people who did like have a glass of, you know, champagne or wine. And some of them got mad and some of them didn't and stuff.
Well, and that's why I think they are missing such like an incredible opportunity to have like real storylines. But I think you can only meet someone as far as they've met themselves. And what we're seeing with these women is they don't understand – why they're doing what they're doing. They don't get why they're behaving the way they're behaving, because no one's like grabbed their hand and said, I'm going to tell you with my whole chest right now, here's the root of your problems. And here's why life feels so difficult and overwhelming and toxic to you.
Yeah.
Because of this culture that you're raised in and the way your family treats you and the way you've been perceived and the way people respond to you when they realize you behave this way and they do these things and why you all got ripped to shreds by the Mormon community when you started posting to TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, they're so desperate to cling. They think the storyline that people want is like the mom talk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't care. The mom talk is what brought us here. It's everything else underneath it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. I they're trying to introduce that whole like Jesse had an affair, Demi had an affair, whatever, with that guy at Vanderpump Villa.
But again, even if that like happened, we should be talking about like the emotional fallout of what is going to happen in the community about that.
But they can't, because they're all melting down at the same time. Because they're all disasters. And they all,
I think, won't be honest.
No.
Like, I mean, I thought it was very interesting how Layla was like, if I marry this guy, like, he wants to get sealed in the church and stuff like that. And I'm very, like, did you do that last time? I don't even know. You didn't even say. What happened last time? How long, like, why are you a single mom? Does he help at all? Do you live together? Like, I would love to know a lot more of those details. And honestly, in Real Housewives, we do know those details a lot more. Like, I know where everyone lives. I know their work situation. Right. I know their family dynamic.
Well, and when someone is brought onto the show, there's almost an entire episode that's dedicated to, like, their backstory.
Yes, yes, yes.
And with this, it's just kind of like – it's almost like there's a level of arrogance in assuming that everybody follows mom talk.
Mm. But also mom talk doesn't even exist. Yeah, I guess it's an arrogance that you assume that you follow their TikToks. But again, I know nothing. Even if I hardcore followed all of their TikToks, what I would know is like Layla got a bunch of plastic surgery. That's what I would know recently.
I'm so sorry. You get to do whatever you want with your body. I would stand on business for that, and I would advocate for you every day of the week. Why does Jesse look 10 years older than me?
I know.
And she's 2 years younger than me.
Yeah.
Like all of them. It's so deceiving, their ages.
Yeah.
Because they are so pumped with filler.
Yep.
And again, like it shouldn't matter. And I'm not sitting here saying like – but to me, when I hear about the – because I knew people all the time that got like tattooed permanent makeup. They would get the fillers. They got the tummy tucks, the boob jobs, the BBLs, the veneers, all of it. Yep. Even that, like, let's talk about the pressure that you're feeling to literally change your body.
I mean, Real Housewives do talk about
that. Yes. They talk about the plastic surgery. They talk about the work they're getting done. They talk about the pressure that they feel to look a certain way once they start being more public facing and more famous and all that entails. And I just – they're skipping over all of this for this like milquetoast storylines of like, what's going to happen to mom talk? Like, it's dead.
No, producer, stop asking them what's going to happen to mom talk.
Yeah. My message to all of them right now, and the one I exclude is Taylor. I want to look at the rest of them and go, be honest.
Yeah.
Be honest. If you really want to convince me that you think you're changing the world and that you're changing narratives, own your stories. Don't just give me two produced sentences of kind of like, this happened and now it's over. Like, no, tell me what really happened. Tell me what's really going on. And they would be like, but we really are. And I would be like, but you're really not. Because I could have been making buku bucks right now being a producer on that show.
I mean, I think what's so interesting though is I think they don't actually care.
No.
Like that is, you know what I mean? Like I truly think they are in it to be influencers and to make money and to be successful and to try to pretend, you know, that they're going to get invited to it. Like they're all just trying to be celebrities at this point, which Real Housewives do too. But
well, and with Demi, it's like, be the villain then. Don't sit here and act like you're kicking Taylor out because you have this like virtuous belief that she's bringing down mom talk. Like, shut up. Yeah. Like, that's, You want to be queen bee. And I would much rather you just say, you know what? Taylor is not the leader for this group. The leader is me.
Yeah.
I'm this. I'm that. I'd be like, hell yeah, girl. You know what? Yeah. I don't agree with you, but go get it.
Why do you think Taylor's mom went to that dumb party?
I don't know. Her mom.
That was a very strange, no resolution. That was one of those cliffhangers at the end of the.
Yeah.
I was just like, what? This had no wrap up. This was so choppy.
I find Taylor's mom's forays into the show to always be some level of inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like even the very first episode where she shows up and Taylor's like, why do you have my baby?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, Dakota called me. And I'm like, that's a boundary violation. Like, why are you not letting her know that you like? But then you see it. But then there was that weird, I think it was like episode 8, where they like come over to the house to help her. And all of a sudden they're being nice. And they're like, you've done so much. You've grown. Yeah. I'm like,
Yeah.
That what? Was that supposed to be like, they knew how bad the barbecue was. So now they had to like.
Or maybe her and Dakota were already done.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I thought it was very good and interesting that Taylor was like, look, I can't keep. You know, yanking him around. Like, it's not fair. It's not good for us. Like, I thought that was respectful. Great, even though,
the show is missing something. And I think what it's missing is authenticity. Well, long story short, everybody, there's some serious cultural baggage that these women are carrying around. And it impacts everything.
I will say the one thing is they sure make being a mom look super easy and fun. Because the kids are like never really around.
No, you don't see them.
And when they are, they're just like an accessory. And I just the whole time they were at that like carnival thing, I was just like, who is watching these kids? Like, I don't understand where they are. I don't know. I mean, it did make me be like, I could see how it's easier to have a kid when the way that everyone just like knew how to hold kids and take care of kids. I know you've told me about stuff like that is I was like, well, it does make it seem the way that they're just like, well, someone has my kid. It's either my sister, or my friend, my mom, my dad, my church. Someone's got my kid. So it's fine.
Yeah. And someone I trust them.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I hope that you got something out of our take on this.
I hope there was something you learned or maybe felt seen in or made sense of something.
We are on Substack. If you want more bonus content, especially more like pop culture-y content, we tend to do more of that on Substack. So check us out at nuanceneeded.substack.com. We don't have any sponsors yet. So the best way you can support the show
is Substack.
Is through Substack or rating and reviewing.
Yeah. Anything that you can do to get the word out about the show, we appreciate. Means the world to us. And we will see you next time.
Bye.